Welcome, everyone, again from the Nonprofit Copyright Clearance Center. We want to turn right now to Richard Nguyen. And Richard is Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Aries System Corporation. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, as people may have heard, Copyright Clearance Center earlier this month, just ahead of the SSP conference, the Society for Scholarly Publishing, announced the integration of Copyright Clearance Center's RightsLink for Open Access and Aries Editorial Manager. And I hope you could tell us briefly about what all this means and how these various steps in the process that we've been hearing about from my colleagues really come together in this particular integration.
Yes, I'd be delighted to. First of all, a little background. We are a company that specializes in workflow solutions for publishers. Our system is used by more than 5,000 journals for manuscript submission and peer review, and then downstream production. Our customers include open access publishers such as PLOS and their new ventures such as the recently launched Elementa Journal. We also work with hybrid journals such as those published by Springer, Cell Press, and then many society publishers such as the American Psychological Association, the American Society of Civil Engineers, the Endocrine Society, and many others. So we're embedded in that workflow, and we're hearing a lot of need for this kind of solution.
Right. And, you know, it's great to have you join us here in the Copyright Clearance Center headquarters. You are a neighbor of ours in North Andover, Massachusetts, and as you mentioned, very much a global company. You've got representation in Germany and the United Kingdom. And I guess, really, Richard, to look at this a little bit further, since the subject is open access, when you call on publishers who are on the front line of all of this, what are you hearing? What are some of the practical problems that you hear about?
Well, let me put it like this. If you look at the subscription model, when a reader of a manuscript opens a manuscript or an article to read it, there is very little transaction overhead on that because the subscription has been paid for by an intermediary, typically a library or a library plus other intermediaries. And so there's very, very low transaction overhead. Because APCs or open access publishing is just emerging, that can't be said right now. There are very high frictions and transaction costs when an APC is paid. So we're hearing from our customers that they want to reduce that friction that goes on so that they can tap into this growing willingness of funders and organizations to support APCs.
Right. And when it comes to APCs, I mean, one of the other aspects that's so different is that, you know, the subscriptions that you mentioned were really in large amounts. And as we've heard from others already, APCs can wind up in a variety of micropayments and multiple payments and all other kinds of complications happen. And this is really shifting the way that publishers have to take in that kind of revenue.
Yes, that's right. And there are new business models emerging all the time, such as memberships, for example, where an institution essentially buys through a large fee open access publishing rights for its membership or its academic participants. So the models are changing very quickly. One of the websites I sometimes look at is one at Simmons College, which lists the resources available that libraries are willing to make available to help authors get published. And that's a great resource, but it also points to one of the problems that exists, which is that there are, for every institution, there's a different rule set on how they're going to fund OA. So that, again, speaks to that high friction, both the diversity on the funder side and the diversity in the business models on the publisher side.
And there's a diversity of users as well who are looking to get to this material. And we don't want to divert you from this particular subject, but so, for example, if you're coming from outside the U.S. in certain countries that are part of the HINARI initiative, their access to content would be of a different type, if I understand it correctly, than it would be, say, in the U.K. or the U.S.
Yes, that's very typical. A publishing organization often wants to support the HINARI initiative by offering a much lower APC to authors from those areas. And so something that a peer review system like ours can do is pass that data element to RightsLink so that RightsLink can be aware of the origin of that author and therefore offer and then process a lower APC and vary the business model based on those data elements that come through. And on that point, I would just add that the solution that we're building here is standards-based. So we're looking at using standards such as ORCID and FundRep and other institutional identifiers to facilitate the downstream evolution of business models.
Right, and for the listeners, so ORCID, OCID, is basically an author ID that is a metadata tag, and then FundRep would be for funders.
That's correct, yeah.
Right. So let's have a look at the slide here, because I think it gives people a sense of the workflow and the ways that APCs do, as you say, create a complication in all this. So talk us through what we're looking at here.
Yes. At a very high level, you're looking at plumbing. I have drawn this analogy before and would just point it out again that what organizations like ours do is we provide plumbing for the publishing industry. And as we all know from our own personal experience at home, we want plumbing to work, but we don't really want to be involved with it too much. And generally, we want someone else to deal with the plumbing, even though potentially we could do it ourselves. So the plumbing that you're seeing here is that there are two really key touch points in the manuscript lifecycle. The first is when the manuscript is first submitted. The author needs to be made aware of the business terms and opportunities with respect to APC processing. Maybe the system has identified that they're from an institution, for example, MIT, and that MIT has funded the APC for this author. Or maybe the system identifies that they're from a Hinari country and therefore the APC is lower. So the author is informed about the business terms. That's the first touch point. The second touch point is at time of acceptance, where that transaction needs to actually be resolved. Now, historically, and at least for a while, that's going to be an author reaching into their pocket and paying a fee using a credit card or billing to an institution. But over time, to remove the friction from the process, that will be increasingly a drawdown on a membership or other model where the OA fee has been supported by an institution.
Right. And those fees that can happen at that particular point, they include the APC, but they're not limited to the APC. So the variety of options that authors and publishers would have at that point.
Yes, I think that's right. There's certainly demand for those other fees as well.
I want to thank Richard Windu from Ares, an editorial manager, for coming in and joining us today. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, my name is Chris Keneally.